Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. And in this segment, we're doing our Bible study. We are on Lesson 15 today. And Connie Stampfel is here with us. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you.
And you have titled this lesson, Endure When Suffering Unjustly. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 2, 18 to 25. Ladies, so open your Bibles there and we'll get started here. Why don't we start by reading it, actually, and then Connie will teach. And so here's what it says in verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Thank you, Amy. And here Peter is giving us great instruction, but also a wealth of theology. And so we're going to be looking through this passage. We'll be talking about the servants, and then we'll also be talking about actually how Jesus Christ is our example, our model. And Peter is referring extensively to Isaiah 53 from the Old Testament. So we'll be reading parts of that also. Going back to the first part of this, the verse here, it says servants. And here the word is actually for what would be the household servants of that day. I'm sure it applies to slaves also. And probably one thing for us to understand is that probably most of those who came to be Christians in the early days were actually from the underclass of society. They were people who were slaves or servants, because a lot of people were in that category. And they were also perhaps the most willing to listen to the gospel and to be changed by it. We do know that here, if they're in this situation, Paul had said earlier that it was fine for them to try to win their freedom if they could, if they could earn money and pay their way out of it. But definitely from what we heard the last time we were together about being submitting to authorities, we don't find in scripture that they are to be revolting or trying to overthrow what is the rule. Yeah. And so here we find again a situation where God, through Peter, is calling people to accept the situation where they're in, change it if they can, but also to submit to the proper authorities. And we're going to find that these authorities, actually, most of them are not good. They're unjust and cruel. So we find Peter writing to them. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. And so again, it's that hupotazo. It's arrange yourself underneath to submit yourself to their rule. And he says, not only to the good and gentle, which would hopefully be anyone, any believer, any Christian who was a slave owner or a master or the house, but also to the unjust. And that word is really interesting because it's scolios, and it really means bent, not straight. It's the word we get the medical term scoliosis, which is somebody with a crooked back. And so we're talking about a crooked master. And so these servants are called to treat with respect a crooked master. And then going on in verse 19, Peter tells us why. He said, for this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows when suffering unjustly. And so here in 1 Peter, we've been hearing about what's precious to God, what's gracious to God. And so there's something about submitting to the situation God has allowed us to be in that pleases God. And he goes on and says, verse 20, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Verse 21 says, for to this you have been called, to this meaning to at times suffer for doing what is right, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And so we have Jesus Christ as our example. And the word there, example, is actually Greek. It's hypogramman, which literally means underwriting. And that's how the children of that day learned to do their letters. They would see letters written out on a slate, and they would copy them trace over them. And so we are supposed to trace over the life of Jesus Christ so that we look just like he does, and that, you know, that we're perfectly shaped like he is. And so Peter's giving us a lesson about how Jesus Christ suffered, and then we ourselves are also to have the same type of patient endurance that he did. And we're also going to be looking at that passage in Isaiah 53, which foretold how Jesus would suffer and what would happen. So it's a beautiful portion of scripture. I'm going to have Amy read in Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3, please.
Okay, it says this: "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities."
Thank you, Amy. And as we study this and we consider just the awesome beauty of what Jesus Christ did for us, but he achieved everything through suffering, the physical suffering that he went through, which was horrible, but even more than that, bearing God's wrath against our sin. Mm. And as we study through this passage, I want us to kind of think about that and then realize that if God calls us to suffer in a world that is sinful, with the purpose of bringing others to Christ, of representing God, then may we be like Jesus also and accept whatever God's will might be for us, because we know that it will be for our good ultimately, and it will glorify God. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter here and just read again, talking about Peter had said in the end of verse 21, "so that you might follow in his steps." And then it says, "he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." And we heard that in Isaiah 53:9, "no deceit found in his mouth." And then it says, "when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting to himself to him who judges justly." And again, we find that in Isaiah 53 about Jesus not answering, being silent. And when it says he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, we know God is a perfect, just judge, and he will make all things right in the end. Throughout scripture, we are told not to seek vengeance, because that is of the Lord. And so Jesus himself could have said a word and just had everybody flatten out, you know, before him, or you know, called on fire from heaven or whatever, but he did not, because he was achieving God's will. And so we need to remember that also when we face what would be persecution or evil. And then verse 24 is one of those verses we should all actually have memorized, because it's one to hold in our heart. Verse 24 says, "he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Mm. By his wounds you've been healed." And literally, it's by his stripe you've been healed. And truly, Jesus Christ suffered in his flesh, in the body, and bore our sin so that we would receive his righteousness. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing. The Son of God, the perfect, sinless one who created everything, has now come to save his creation. when we think about suffering in this way, it kind of changes the purpose, and we realize in this world of sin, I think there always will be suffering. Yeah. But as Peter's talking about, we want to make sure that we're suffering for doing good rather than suffering for sin, which would not bring honor to anyone. Our other thought to think about this is Peter is so gracious to remind us in verse 25, he says, "For you were straying like sheep." Yes. And that's also from Isaiah 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray." And so Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, died for us and has called us to him. He's holding us and keeping us. And Peter then writes, "But have now returned or turned toward the shepherd or pastor and the overseer of your souls." And so we've been brought back to Christ. And what an incredible privilege. Thinking just about Peter again, we know he's been given the charge to tend and care for the sheep, to be an under-shepherd under Jesus. And when we put our lives in perspective of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us, it changes everything. Hopefully, all of us will then perhaps consider what Jesus has done and think again about our lives and any suffering God might choose for us to go through at this time.
And Connie, as we were looking at Isaiah 53, perhaps there are women listening right now who maybe never heard the Old Testament before, maybe don't understand that Isaiah, as he was speaking these things about Jesus, lived many, many years before Jesus ever appeared on the earth.
Oh, yes. It was, at least 700 years or so.
Yes. So, ladies, there, Jesus himself, his life, his sacrifice, that is a fulfillment of prophecy that we just read to you from Isaiah. And if you've never studied that before, boy, stick with us, because we're going to continue to do that and show you those verses in Scripture. And we do that every day here at the table. And I'm so glad that we can do that freely for now. And so these Bible studies, these things that our teachers like Connie do, all of these 10-minute podcasts are on our website. You can download them freely. You can share them. You can use them to teach around your own table. And again, the study guides are there too. So go to the Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. Well, Nancy and I are going to be back in just a moment to talk more about this. So stick around. We'll be right back.